is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
This program may contain content that some listeners may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Good morning, listener. You're tuned in to 88.1 FM. It's 6 a.m. here in the studio.
This is CKLN.
And I am Amir Trumbu with
DJ RK.
And you are listening to
Amir and his antics.
Thank you, DJ. So, DJ, are you ready for the show?
We are always ready.
Then let's just get started.
And that's what we shall do.
We're started, and sir, how is your morning?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited for the new beginning that we have.
Where is the new beginning?
Right now, we're gonna try something new.
Okay, where are we trying something new?
Amir, are you willing to follow through what I'm gonna tell you right now?
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm gonna give you the instruction.
Okay, give it to me.
I want you to go to Google.
Uh-huh.
And find the first random word that you can come up with.
In Google?
Yes. How are we going to do that? Is there some kind of website that tells us?
The random word of the day?
Yes. Or random ideas. Or some random philosophical concept or ideas.
And you want it right now as we speak?
Yes.
Are you serious? That's really too short.
I'm very, very serious.
Do you want a Wikipedia quote of the day?
Yeah. That'll be great. Preferably something related to philosophy. Or something we can talk about.
Then let's talk about search. Because that's the first thing you'll see on Google. Search.
Okay.
What's your opinion about Google?
Google. I'm just wondering why the heck the name Google is chosen.
Well, we can talk about that any other day, but anyway.
Yeah.
Google is about a number, apparently. So you mean, why is Google called Google?
Yeah.
So meaning of Google.
Yeah, well, how did anybody come up with that name?
That's an interesting question.
Do you know?
Yeah, it's actually, I was reading it on their, I can actually read it right now. It's a play on the word Google, G-O-O-G-O-L, which was coined by a man named Milton Serota. And it's just about a number. If you have a number where one is followed by 100 zeros,
oh.
You know how much is 100 zeros?
I don't know.
It's a lot. And that number is called a Google.
Crazy number.
It's a huge number.
Nobody ever got to use that number.
I'm sure no one else ever used it. Instead of using that, they'd rather write a 10 raised to power 100.
Yes, that's what they should do.
Yeah, that's scientific notation of Google. So that's why it's called Google.
Interesting. Certainly interesting.
So that's where the word came from. Now, what did you say? You wanted to do something today.
Like, I want to ask you, right? I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Amir, in your room, there's a fridge.
Okay.
Small fridge.
All right.
Right? And you and I both know that it constantly makes sounds. It makes humming sounds, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And in your fridge, there's a box of whatever it is. Box of chocolate.
Box of sweets.
Box of sweets,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, the box of sweets, does that taste sweet even when you're not eating? Does that inhaler contain the taste of sweetness in it?
When I'm not eating it?
When you're not eating it. Can it be considered sweet before you start eating it?
You mean can it be sweet without tasting it?
Can you name it sweet before anybody gets to taste it?
No.
Why is that?
Because if it's not tasted, then you don't know what to taste it. Therefore, it cannot be sweet.
So you're saying that everything there is, it needs to be tested by a human being to be defined?
Yes, obviously. Otherwise, it goes into the undefined and the unseen, which human beings have never... Like, you're right. Your question is like, when things have not been seen or witnessed or felt by man...
That's right.
Can they be defined?
So...
And I don't think they can be defined.
Is the existence of everything substantiated by the human experience of that?
It is not substantiated by human experience, it is limited by human experience.
So can something that's beyond and above human perception considered existent?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So can you say a tree that falls in your backyard makes a sound but nobody's there to hear it?
Alright.
Can you say that?
What do you mean? The trees in my backyard fell down.
And nobody was there to hear it.
Nobody heard it or witnessed it falling.
Yes.
Okay.
Did it ever make a sound?
Did it ever make noise?
Yes, when it's falling.
It must have made noise when it fell down.
Well, how do you know? You said everything is defined by human perception.
I said everything is defined, not defined by, but limited by human perception. Aren't you getting my point? I think I'm quite clear. Don't try to
you're
take
not
me
clear
around.
At all.
No, don't.
Actually, you have
no.
Point
whoa,
whatsoever.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Wait,
no
Ryan, whatsoever. Ryan, listen. I'm clear right now.
No,
don't try to play around in my mind.
I'll just like shut your mouth right now. How about that?
Stop it, man! It's radio, and we're live. Okay. Yes, okay. It's Monday morning, and you're trying to confuse them about a tree that has fallen down in my backyard.
Listeners, please tell me, did it ever make a sound? And nobody ever heard it.
It obviously made a sound.
How do you know?
It must have made a sound.
How can you be sure about that?
I'm assuming it made a sound.
What is the definition of sound?
Sound is something that is heard, obviously.
Heard by what?
No, something that creates waves, sound waves, that can be heard, obviously.
Yeah? Well, there are sound waves that cannot be heard by human perception.
Yeah.
Such as the rat repellent that makes ultrasound waves. But we cannot hear it, but the rats can inevitably hear it.
All right.
How about that?
What is your suggestion?
My suggestion is...
What is your suggestion?
Did it make a sound or not? The tree.
It must have made some sound.
There is a rat repellent in our backyard making a sound at this moment.
So, what is your question? What is your
My
point?
Question is it making sound or not?
It's not making a sound.
It's not?
It's quiet.
But tell me about the definition of sound. You said it's something that's heard.
Yeah, it is something
like perception,
heard.
Right?
So you mean
human perception?
Okay, so the tree fell down and I didn't see it.
Something that's not heard, then it cannot be defined as sound, right?
Just because I didn't hear it,
there was nobody.
Just because
hear
I didn't hear
it
doesn't mean it didn't happen.
It. That means it's not sound.
Just because I didn't hear it didn't mean it didn't happen.
The tree did not make a sound because there was nobody to hear it.
Look,
right?
Our
a sound. The definition of sound is something that's heard. So if it's not something heard, then it cannot be sound.
But listen.
So as a result, the tree never made a sound because there's nobody that ever heard it. You understand?
I'm amazed.
You're dumbfounded, aren't you?
But
you're quite convinced.
But Ryan, DJ RK.
Yes.
Tell me, if we didn't witness it, does not mean it did not happen.
It happened. I'm sure it happened. It made all the physical traces.
But
behind. How
can we be sure that because we did not witness it, witness the sound, does that mean the sound didn't happen?
I'm saying there were physical alterations that occurred because of this tree falling, right?
All
right. Obviously, there was this sound wave created by a tree falling through the air. I'm sure it made some kind of random waves.
All right.
If a human was there to hear it, then it could have been a sound.
All
right. Right? But those physical alterations that happen or whatever differences that it made
didn't matter.
It did happen. I'm not suggesting it didn't.
So you're saying it did happen?
It did happen, but there was no sound. It cannot be considered a sound.
Okay, tell me one thing.
What?
I cannot see the stars, and I cannot see what's happening with the stars.
Sure you can.
How?
Now you can see it.
But what are the stars that are beyond our view, beyond light years?
Then they do exist.
How do they exist? They do exist, but I can't see them, therefore they do not. That means they did not happen in the first place.
Well, I'm not suggesting that these things don't happen.
Okay, let me make a point. Listen, human beings do not have universal knowledge. Their knowledge is limited to their experience, to what they've seen, to what they've heard, to what they've come across. Hold.
Amir.
Let me finish.
Amir!
Oh, shut up. That was loud. Listen. So, if human beings are limited, they need to accept the fact that they're limited. If DJ RK tries to be universal and realize that he's not, and suddenly stops and starts talking about a tree in my backyard which has fallen, which has made noise, but he hasn't heard it, therefore there was no sound, you're obviously being very farcical.
You clearly misunderstood my argument. My argument
say it
was
again.
That
let me hear.
There was no sound, yet I did not question the existence of these properties that would otherwise create something that is a sound.
All right.
If there was a human
DJ RK,
right?
We will request you to repeat your argument, but let me remind the listeners that you're tuned in to Amir and his antics, and you are listening to CKLN on 88.1. On what?
88.1
FM. Take care. And
yes.
If you're still with us, we're going to ask Ryan. Sorry, DJ RK. DJ RK.
Yes.
What
yes.
is your argument?
I'm saying there was no sound, but the things that constitute a sound were present in the backyard. So what I'm saying is, inherently, the stars are out there, even if you don't see it. However, we cannot say the lights that can be seen. You know.
Are you getting lost in your own statements?
I think I am.
Okay, I'll give you another chance. After this, we shut you up and we'll ask you to leave the studio.
How about that?
We'll ask you to leave the studio because it's getting dark outside.
I put a glue on your
mouth. The sun's going to shine, and we cannot have people like you so confusing to be leading our listeners on this beautiful Monday morning.
Anyway, there was something to think about for the week, for the listeners.
Okay.
That was some kind of brain teaser that we gave you.
But I didn't understand. Just give it one last time.
Yeah.
Alright, make a statement for one last time.
Make a statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what is your argument?
Argument is.
Yeah.
Things
but
happen.
Wait, this is the last time you get to make it. Alright, so make it clear.
Okay, things happen.
And make it rational. And don't confuse us. Just don't confuse us.
Things happen beyond human perception. There's no question about it. I'm not denying the existence of those things that happen, but at the same time, we cannot claim that those properties that we give them, which are based on a perception, those properties exist. That's my point. We cannot claim that those properties exist when we are not there to experience it.
Wow. Say it once more, please.
No, that's it. That's it.
All right. Yeah. So, you said you wanted me to give you the wiki quote of the day?
Yes, please. What are those?
The wiki quote of the day is a quote by users of Wikipedia, wherein they submit a quote that will be put in on the next day and is recognized as the wiki quote of the world that day.
Okay.
So, today's quote of the day... Let's not use today's quote. Let's use last week's quote.
What is that?
I don't know. There are a lot of quotes that were said this week and last week.
Are they all gibberish?
No, some of them, I don't know. Let's just take a pick of this random one. Okay, this was said on the 7th of December.
Okay, go ahead.
And the quote is by Zora Neale Hurston. And she says, "There are years that ask questions and years that answer."
Interesting quote. What do you think that means, Amir?
What do you think that means?
Let's deconstruct that sentence.
All right, let's deconstruct it.
It says there are ears that ask questions and ears that answer.
So, wow. I think it's actually very, very intriguing.
There are two components there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The first component says, okay, there's a time when it asks you questions.
There's a time when you ask questions, and there's a time when you receive those answers.
It could be interpreted that way, but it could be that there's a time in your life that everything is just out of place and nothing's in place. And yeah, if you go through it, there will be a time when those things will be in order.
Oh yeah, probably that way too. You mean in the sense that there's a point of time when questions are being asked to a few, like maybe the question of existence or just questions, and you keep there. These questions are being asked of you continuously, and then there'll be a time when you will have an answer to these questions because these answers will arise from within you.
Amir, you know what this reminds me of?
What does it remind you of?
This reminds me of a religious text, which is called the Bible.
All right.
And there's a quotation that says something like this.
What does it say?
It says, there are times for everything. Times for killing, times for reviving, times for healing, times for dying. And the list goes on. Times for war, times for peace. And when I read the quote, I felt that it kind of summarizes the way things are in this world. And I felt some kind of difference of this quotation that stands up from the rest of the Bible, because it didn't seem like something Christian. It felt something more like Buddhist.
You mean it felt more universal?
It felt more in line with the Buddhist context.
What is the Buddhist context? The middle path.
The middle path and impermanence of everything and the fakeness of everything, the randomness of the reality, and the flakiness and fickleness of human perception.
Whoa.
Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Have you read the Buddhist text?
I didn't read an actual text, but I have come across interpretations of them.
Oh.
Yes, and I'll share my personal thoughts on some issue. One day I had a religious epiphany.
Epiphany?
Yes. Or rather, I'll say spiritual experience.
Alright.
One day I was getting a ride from my friend.
Okay.
And I was falling asleep on a car.
Okay.
In the passenger seat. And a thought came through my mind. And I saw these blobs of thoughts. These blobs, I don't know what they are. It looks like some kind of liquid crystal. It has some kind of rainbow qualities in it.
You mean thought clouds?
It could be. If you just look at the vision itself, it doesn't tell you what it is, but my mind understood to be blobs of thought.
Okay.
Right? And these blobs were floating in the emptiness, floating in the background that was like black and did nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And my mind understood it to be thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I am one of those blobs of thoughts. And whatever that's reality to me is whatever that's the arrangement within each blob that creates constant thoughts within it. And whatever that's within the blob, the contents of the blob rearrange and arrange themselves to form certain patterns, and those patterns become my perceived reality. And they are so random. And it told me that, not told me, but my mind understood it that nothing in this world that I experience matters because it's random. Even myself is a random construction of these thoughts that rearranged it and somehow created to be seen by me and experienced. Even the idea of me and my ego and self-perception, they're all random thoughts. Random arrangements of the components, the contents within the block.
Why would you call it a religious epiphany?
Because that's very much in line with a Buddhist way of thinking. Saying that Buddha said, Buddha's from India, did you know that? Did you know that?
How does it matter?
Somewhat matters.
Yeah, he was from the Indian subcontinent, yes. And he has a lot of followers who moved out from India itself.
Yes.
He was a ruler, yeah. I know about him. I've read about him.
And Buddhism used to be huge in India, but not much nowadays.
So nowadays, this was a phase.
Like, there was a time when the entire subcontinent was Buddhist.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Like, I'm sure.
Like a major part, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of caves were also carved out in places across the country. Like, if you come with me on a trip around India, I'll show you a lot of caves. They were dug out of mountain, And then like homes caved out, like entire homes caved out through mountains by followers of Buddha.
Do you know Ashoka?
Ashoka, yeah.
Who was it? Or what was it?
Ashoka was a warrior.
Was he a king?
He was a king, yes.
And didn't he convert to Buddhism?
He did.
Didn't he conquer most of India?
He conquered a large part, very large part.
And he propagated Buddhism.
Yeah. He gave it all and then he started propagating Buddhism.
And within his realm, Buddhism was recognized religion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now what happened to that?
What happened?
How come Buddhism is weak in India nowadays?
It's not nowadays, you know, I can use the wrong term nowadays. As if you know, it's like this month or
okay, so
the trend or it's a fad that went down.
What happened to the prevalence of Buddhism in India that used to be there?
Good question.
Under Ashoka's rule.
Ashoka came in a long time ago. Since
yes.
then, there were other rulers that came in.
Yes.
And each ruler had their own, we will call them the agenda in today's terms. But they didn't have agendas. They had their own beliefs, their own cultures that they brought along with them, their own trading system. So Ashoka was, I'm not sure in which era was he the ruler, but he was followed by some really large followers that came in after him. And some of them were the Ghaznis and the Ghaznavis from the Afghan, present Afghanistan area, who were Muslim rulers. And then there was this major era called the Mughal era.
Mm-hmm.
And they lasted for the longest. In this millennia and the last, they had the longest rule ever.
Okay. Now tell me, let me ask you a question. Amir, if you had been born under the rule, in the time under the rule of Ashoka,
mm-hmm.
would you be a Buddhist?
How can I say that?
Let's say you are one of the nobilities.
Okay.
That were within the Ashoka's ruling clan, right?
Like the nobles.
Yes.
In the court.
Right.
In the king's court.
Would you not be a Buddhist? You probably will be.
I wouldn't say I would.
Would you not be born into a Buddhist family?
I would have been born into a Buddhist family.
And you probably like perceive that as the
right religion, yes.
Right. Now what does that tell you about religion?
It tells you that it's often religious people, or not religious people, often followers of a particular religion follow it because their parents did so.
Does that still apply today?
Yes, it does. It applies very strongly today.
So can you say politics is a determinant factor of religion?
How politics?
Because all these institutions that we are born into, right? Like the families that we are born into, mm-hmm. eventually converted to a certain religion at some point if you trace it back.
Mm-hmm.
So how can a particular religion claim universality while each era has its own religion and its particularity? In terms of its physical or, you know, philosophical contents and characters. You know what I mean?
No, can you?
Like, let's say, if a particular religion is one truth, how does that explain the time that it was before this religion was introduced to anybody else?
You want to be specific? And controversial?
Let's say, okay, humans have been around for millennia.
Yeah.
The historical era is only what? At most 6,000 years.
Yeah.
Right? Before that, people's...
Prehistory, yeah.
Prehistoric people, I'm sure they didn't have systematic religions, but I'm sure they were...
Believers in something or the
superstitious,
other.
Superstitious. Worshipping nature or some sort of whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Now... Humanity has spent most of its history without any particular religion. So how can these newly created religions claim some kind of universality and saying that we're the God, while a larger part of humanity that have perished on this planet have never come in contact with those things?
This goes back to your point that you made earlier about the tree. Just because you and me haven't seen that part, We cannot assume they were not, there was not a religion. We cannot assume that there was no popular movement, popular spiritual movement.
Well, I'm pretty sure there were popular spiritual movements.
And we cannot be sure that the number of people who are living, because everything that we know is through history textbooks,
right,
that was written by man and historians, who obviously always have an agenda.
Yes, that's true.
So we have not got evidence to say that yes, there was a religious movement, or there was a religion that prevailed,
okay,
even 2000 years ago. So let's say before Christ, we don't know which religion prevailed, which religion was the one.
Well, in Greece, those are Greek gods. They
yeah, we only know about Greeks and Romans because we have proof of, and we have some
evidence.
Before
that, we don't know what kind of.
So we can never say that there was something, but neither can we say that there wasn't a major religion.
I'm gonna say that. Okay, I'm gonna say there were some form of religions before,
mm-hmm,
before, you know, within the historic prehistoric times, right? But what I'm saying is, these particular religions that we see today, whatever they are, I'm not pinpointing anything.
Mm-hmm.
With certain doctrines, certain ways of living, and certain cultures, and certain commandments, and whatever they are,
yeah,
these things do not exist.
You can't say they didn't exist. According to Judaism, Moses was a prophet, and Moses is a prophet, and he brought the message. Not a new message. He brought a message to these people. And before him, there were other messengers too. I don't know if Judaism accepts there were other messengers. For example, Christianity accepts that Moses was a prophet and Jesus was a prophet, and they also claim that he was the son of God. Where
is
this?
Do you know who the forefather of Moses was?
Who was his forefather?
Abraham?
I'm not sure, but was he the forefather?
Wasn't he the first? Wasn't Abraham the founder of Jewish people?
You mean, was he the starter of the movement?
Yeah.
Yes. Even the Muslims in Islam agree that the beginning of the Islamic movement started with the prophet Abraham. Because it was the Abraham, and then there were prophets after him that followed the Islamic movement.
Tell me this. What kind of culture did Abraham come from? It was Mesopotamian, wasn't it?
I think so.
Didn't
they
have their own sets of gods?
Yeah, they had statues and gods.
They had multiple gods, didn't they? Pantheonism.
They had idol worship, and they had a lot of. You can even call it pagan worshiping.
Of course, but to those people, they were the truth. They were the truthful gods.
Yes,
they believed in them.
To
and
them,
they have different doctrines and set of beliefs.
Yes,
and commandments. I'm pretty sure they did.
Yes, they did.
Right?
Yeah.
So, how do you say which is more truthful and which is not?
How do I say which is more truthful and which is not?
Yeah. Because if religion is determined by what society you're born into and what time you're born into,
mm-hmm,
how do you claim a greater degree of truthfulness to a particular kind of religion?
I think it then boils down to simplicity. Simply, keeping it simple all the time. If you can read the texts of the books and you see a meaning in them. Right now, there are three major religions worldwide. Two major and one. Yeah, there are a lot of, at least 10 major religions worldwide, and the numbers keep varying up and down. And each of them has at least one core book that holds on and defines the principles and values of that particular religion. For example, Islam has the Quran, which is the book, the holy book for them. Christianity has the Bible. I've not been able to comprehend the different versions or the types, but I do know there you could get the essence from, I think, any. I've never read. Have you ever read the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other books of faith, and each one, I think if you can try, if you really want to understand the essence of and understand which religion actually answers this question that you have, you might find one religious book that will tell you yes. You have a valid question, and we have the answer that you're looking for.
That answer sounds pretty subjective to me. Saying
what?
It doesn't claim universality to one religion. We're saying each person will get answer from different religions, depending on what kind of particularity the person has, right? Or depending on their personality. Because I'm sure Tom Cruise finds the truthfulness in Scientology. Is he wrong in that? Can you say he's wrong?
No, I wouldn't say he's wrong. For him, that's his truth.
Right. So does that
matter?
That's
what you're looking for. Are you looking for the truth? Are you looking for your version of the truth? Because every time you... Look, I'll tell you a piece of advice. Every time you read a book of any religious text, you need to make sure that before you open the first page and read it, you need to keep yourself out of it. If you can manage to do that, then you will find the truth.
That'll be very hard to do.
That won't be very hard
if,
to do.
If not have impossible.
I won't say it's very hard
because
to do.
Everything that you have in your mind is within you already. You cannot separate that. Your mental capacity to understand and read a text itself is part of you already. You cannot separate yourself.
You cannot be a third person to read it. You can accept the fact that you will be subjective about it if you read it with that subjectivity and choose to be more open to it.
Okay, sounds good.
And if you do that and you do read the books with this hope to be more objective and at least hope to learn the truth, because I think anyone who's on the search for truth will always find it.
That begs a very, very important question.
What is the question?
Let me ask you this question. Is there the one and only truth out there? Or the truth that people seem to find, are they just personal, individualized truth?
You mean, is there a global, universal, absolute truth?
That's out there without human beings reaching out for it. I mean, if there's a global, universal truth, one only truth out there, humans don't have to comprehend them for it to exist. They exist no matter what. People can be searching for whatever there is. It can be Scientology, it can be alien worshiping, whatever it is, right? Those people can be considered wrong, right? If they have not found this one truthfulness. On the other hand, if there was no one truthfulness, and everything there is about religion is the individualized truth that you find in your mind because of your personality or history, then there is no one truth. There's only one thing. Each person has one thing that'll make them happy and that'll be variable depending on who you are and
what
person you are.
Do you think there is some universal truth?
I am not. Well, I'm asking you, do you think so?
I think there certainly should be. And there must be.
Why?
A global universal truth. But whether we have found it or not is something that we need to ask ourselves. This global truth has to be something that not everyone can relate to. It has to be something that you can only relate if you're in search of it.
But a fact of matter, the reality of today is that each person, each followers of their own religion will claim this global universal truthfulness to their religion.
I agree.
Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
You mean the fact that every religion has their own universal truth?
Well, the followers of each religion will certainly claim that for their own religion, right?
Yes, they will all say that they have their own universal and complete truth, and they'll stand by it.
And what is your opinion on that?
On whether they should be an absolute truth?
Whether they should believe that that's the only one absolute truth out there?
I don't think so.
They shouldn't think that way, right?
I think they need to start questioning. I know a fact. In Islam, it says that if you are following Islam because your parents are following it, then you're like a monkey who's copying the other monkeys. You're following your own clan and doing everything, just monkeying around like every other monkey.
Yeah.
Islam asks you to question your own religion.
Does Islam encourage you to actually not be a Muslim and be something else if you don't find it truthful?
No, what Islam says is that just because you have been born into a Muslim family and just because you have been given the privilege doesn't mean that you stop questioning.
What if a certain particular individual don't find it to be, for whatever the reason out there, okay, don't find this to be too truthful, and he or she has gone through years of examining and thinking and then concluded that this is not the truth.
Okay.
Does Islam encourage a person to find something else?
Islam always supports the truth. So Islam does not say that. Islam obviously will say the fact, it obviously supports the fact that there is one God and the monotheism. And Islam says the essence of Islam is just in that word, that there is no God blah, 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 and that the messenger is the Prophet Muhammad was the last messenger. That is the essence of Islam. The essence complete. Islam says to search for the truth and keep seeking for it.
But there's one
and to seek for knowledge. Now, if you... It does Islam... Now, your question is very valid. Your question is very strong. It says, what if the question of truth goes beyond Islam? Because
it should go beyond any kind of religion out there.
Yeah.
It should not be protective about your particular religion.
So, I don't know the depth of the answer to that question, but I can know that, yes, Islam will... Or at least in my opinion, the way I see it, because I'll just give you my opinion right now to avoid any controversy. According to me, Islam will always support it, but ask you to maintain the essence. The essence is that there is one God. And that's called Tawheed, the belief in one God. And that is the essence. If in search of that essence and in search to proving it, you can go beyond the truth and understand your truth.
But there are some parts in each religion that cannot be touched, cannot be questioned.
No, I still think you should question them. I'm for it. I've questioned a lot of things.
For example, in Christianity,
alright,
everything depends on the fact that, on the belief that Christ resurrected.
Alright,
if that is not believed, there is no Christianity.
I often had that question too. Yes, I went to a Catholic school.
If you are a Christian,
mm-hmm,
and question that fact, question that statement, you cannot be considered Christian. Everything falls apart.
Do you know, like, the resurrection of Christ was witnessed by three people?
Okay, I'm not asking.
No, about,
I'm not getting into details whether it's truth or not.
But
what I'm saying is, in each religion,
there are
some tenets or set of beliefs that cannot be touched.
Okay.
Now that those things, the existence of those things in whatever religion out there, right? I think that's, in a way, a claim to the universal one truth. That they are in fact claiming that, because by extension of claiming that this cannot be altered, they are claiming that they are indeed a universal truthfulness. Right?
I agree. Every religion does claim the universal truth.
In some way.
Yes.
Is that right or wrong?
Is it right or wrong? Can it be just a right or wrong?
Can you encourage a person to follow that way or not? Because, like you said, like in each era, in each time, in each place, in a culture, that something that you're born into is different. And people are social animals. Whatever you do is determined by socialization, right? Now, can someone be blamed for not believing in something? Or believing in something? Can someone do that or not?
I'm thinking.
Can any religion have that kind of unalterable tenets that should be out of questioning, that should be beyond questioning?
I don't think. No, see, now that bring, now you're saying that there every religion has a few tenets that are not questioned. But according to me, yes, there will be tenets that will not be questioned. Because, and yes, they should remain tenets that won't be questioned.
The fact that
if you don't question them, again, limits your search for the truth.
So, are you saying that the existence of these unquestionable tenets limit the search for the truth?
I think they can.
And they do?
I think they do. I think had we not had unquestionable tenets, the truth would actually be more clearer to us. But again, you know, the question arises... Are we talking about religion here, or are we talking about science? You know, you can be logical.
We're not talking about science at all right now.
Yeah, but so you know, should religion be as logical and clear as science?
No, I'm not claiming
and
anything
rational.
No rationality is there. I'm saying questioning, wondering what is if that's the truth or not. Now let me ask you this: there are some tenets in your mind that's beyond question, and you wouldn't even dare to question it, right? Is that limiting the truth? You're searching for the truth?
It could.
Is it? Or not?
No, I'll tell you why I said it could. Because I had a lot of these unquestionable tenets. I stopped, wrote them down, and asked them. But since I got answers to them, I've had a lot more questions that have come up. But yes, there are questionable tennis in my head. But those were things that I talked about unquestionable, but I got those facts cleared out. I realized that religion actually has more answers than questions that people have. So if you actually get more questions towards religion, you'd find that you get closer and closer to the truth. Keep questioning even those things that you think are unquestioned. Because then you will really realize...
You're still not touching those unquestionable tenets that your religion imposes upon you.
But
and your culture
these unquestionable tenets are not defined completely. They could be unquestionable to you, but they're questionable by someone else. And they must have already asked those questions. But you haven't asked those questions yet. That's what I'm telling you. I had unquestionable facts that I didn't question. And I ended up questioning them, and I was getting closer and closer. And that's why I ended up getting closer to my religion. Otherwise, I was far off, like really far.
But the fact that you're questioning those tenets, doesn't that mean that you're already away from this core beliefs of the religion?
No.
That means you're not...
If those unquestionable tenets make it the core belief, then yes. But what if they don't form the core beliefs?
I think they do make the core beliefs. They make their foundations of these belief systems.
You cannot found a belief on tenets that people don't want to question, that people are not allowed to question.
Well, they do that's what religion is. Each religion has this set of beliefs and unquestionable tenets that are the basis of the belief system, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're not going to question it, and if you're gonna question it, that means you're questioning all the religions out there. Like, if you question those things of your own religion, that means you don't belong to that religion anymore.
You don't want to be specific about it to avoid controversy?
No, I don't want to be specific about it because I'm questioning
a lot of religions.
I'm not even making any assumptions here. I'm just asking questions here, right?
Ryan.
Yeah.
Sorry, DJ RK. DJ RK.
Now, can someone be questionable? Like, can someone be suspicious of this unquestionable tenets and still be considered...
According to me, there should not be any unquestionable tenets. And thanks for making me realize it.
There are, right?
No, there shouldn't be.
There are.
You need to question those unquestionable tenets.
The fact is, there are.
How can you... If you keep questioning them, they won't be unquestionable anymore and will be done.
Yeah, those people should not be considered religious anymore or belong to a certain type of religion.
Why?
Because they're questioning the core beliefs.
You don't question core beliefs.
What are they waiting?
You're assuming that core beliefs are unquestionable tenets.
There are.
No, I don't think so.
If there are no core beliefs, if there are no core
beliefs...
There are core beliefs, right?
Yeah.
And they're different from each other. Each religion has different core beliefs from each other.
But core beliefs have to be questionable.
But if they're not taken for granted, they could take them for the truthfulness, then it loses the religiosity of that religion. It loses the universal appeal. Like, the reason people believe in certain religion is because they consider it to be the word of God, the creator, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Now, if they're questioning the core beliefs, okay, they're not considering that to be the word of God or creator.
Okay. Let's make it clearer for you and for me and for the listener. Let's say, for example, the Quran. Okay, now, according to Muslims, it's the word of God. And according to Muslims, it has been passed on to the Prophet. Now, if a Muslim were to question and ask, is it really the word of God? Isn't that fundamental? Isn't that questioning the basic tenet?
Yes.
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 So, we do not stop him from questioning that. He's allowed to question, and he's allowed to search for an answer. So, what I would recommend to a person who's questioning whether this is really the word of God is for him to stop, open the book, open the Quran, and read it, and feel whether it really is the word of God, and not ask someone else to make him feel that. Because again, it's about God, and God, if God really exists, and if God really is like God, then he can connect with you. He doesn't need people in between. He doesn't need you to go to religious leaders or to people who are the intermediaries, because you don't need an intermediary to God. Because God, according to me, God lies inside the inner recesses of your heart. He's that close to you. He's closer to you than anything else in the world, and closer than any other person you can love. And if you think that you want to question whether it is the word of God, I ask you to invite yourself to read the book. And I think that should be the same for any other religion. Don't you think that's a good way of questioning the basic tenet?
So can any one religion, like a person of any religion, have access to the truth? Doesn't matter what religion it is?
He has access to the truth.
Can he reach the truth?
He can reach the truth because...
Doesn't matter what religion it is.
I'm talking about a human being.
Okay.
Let's assume he could be of any religion. Imagine a human being just standing in the middle of the street. Oh, let's just say he's sitting in the library and he's looking for a book to read. And you are asking whether he has access to the truth. Is that your question?
Yes.
He will always have access to the truth. But the question is, will he be able to use the access and the privileges and the fact that he can read and reason to go and access the truth?
What do you think about those people who claim that if you read your religious text, it's wrong, and if you read mine, that's the truth? What do you think about that?
If any religion says that reading any other text is wrong, that religion is obviously self-centered. Because every religion needs to ask you to search for the truth. Islam encourages you to keep reading the other text to understand not just the other people, but to understand what each religion itself stands for. It's like, if I am a Muslim, in order to understand Islam better, I need to understand other religions. In order to understand monotheism, I need to understand what is the other word for monotheism? Polytheism. So in order to understand the essence of each of them, you need to go beyond the existence. It's like a fish in the bottom of the sea will never know what it feels to be wet unless he goes out of the sea.
Can Tom Cruise find the truth through Scientology?
If he has found it, that's why he's following it.
Can someone find the truth through the alien worshipping?
What's alien worshipping?
They believe that human beings are created by, genetically engineered by alien beings with superior technology.
I would have to ask them whether they read the rest of the books to be at such a level where
they have their
set of books that they have created. Yeah, and their own set of beliefs which are so neo-religious.
Do you believe, like... not too long ago, you probably came across the news, a group called Clonade.
Clonade?
Yeah, they claimed that they cloned a human being, and they wore a scientific... They wore a wing, scientific wing of this religious group.
And what did they clone?
They cloned a human being. They claimed that they cloned a human being, but they never proved it.
And what about them?
What I'm saying is, that is one of the religions. Can someone find a truthfulness in it?
Whether someone can find a truthfulness or not in it is something you have to ask those followers. But again, you never ask the followers, because the followers are never the example of the religion. You, in order to understand the religion, you never see the followers. Followers, it's like, in order to understand a car, it's something that Dr. Zakir Naik, an Islamic scholar, said. In order to understand, test drive a car, or to see how a car is, you never look at it from the outside, or you never look at the driver of the car. You better be sitting in the car yourself and judging the car. But everyone looks at the drivers in the car and says, oh look, he doesn't want to drive the car, it's such a bad car. What makes Volvo a safe car? Not the drivers. It is a safety car. It's a car that's safe, that's known for safety. It has safety mechanisms in place. But if I see a guy, a 25-year-old, drunk, high, stoned to death, driving a Volvo, and I see him banging the Volvo and the Volvo turning upside down and going into flames and blowing up and blowing a whole block of buildings, what am I going to say? Volvos are unsafe cars.
What a good analogy.
To never look at the followers, ever.
No.
Go and sit down in that car and drive it. In the same way, open that book up yourself. Stop looking at I don't like these guys, they don't do it right.
Well, I'm certainly not doing that, but what I'm saying is, there is relativity.
Are you in search for the truth? Are you wanting are you seeking to be in search of the truth?
I am searching for the truth.
Or are you wishing to be in search of the truth?
I think I am already in search for the truth.
Good, then I wish you all your best.
Thank you.
And now, we have a few minutes left for the show. And we'd like to give... And what did we learn on today's show?
today. What have you learned?
Why have you lost your energy? The music's still high.
What have you learned?
What have I learned?
Yes.
I've learned that, if religion upholds the truth and upholds the fact that they're, and if religions feels, if any religion feels that they stand for the truth, they need to let people question the unquestionable. Do you agree?
That'll be the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's the right way to move?
Well, I don't think that's done.
Where do you think it's not being done? It's not being done by people. Again, you're looking at the driver. I mean, stop looking at the drivers.
But people, the drivers will follow the manuals that's written by people who have interpreted a bigger manual.
What if most drivers just don't drive it? You agree? How many times have you actually read the manual of a car before driving it? Do you know every car has a manual?
Yes.
How many times have you read the manual?
I'll read the manual, but there are
Have you read it?
I don't have a car, so I never.
No, have
it.
You ever driven a car?
Yes.
In your entire life?
Yeah.
How many times?
Numerous times.
At least more than 10 times?
I would say so.
Alright, so if more than 10 cars you've driven, how many manuals have you read?
Well, I've driven only 2 cars so far.
Okay, so 2 cars, 2 different types of cars?
Yeah.
Okay, and let's say you've driven, but you've driven at least 10 times?
Yeah.
And not once have you read the manuals?
No.
And this is exactly, you complete the analogy for me. Because most people following religions, ask them, how many of them have actually read the book?
I see your point. So don't look at the people and don't look at the followers and don't look at what they do.
Yeah, but do you think I'm right in the fact that most people don't read their books?
I think so.
And I think, had people actually been reading their book?
I doubt it. I really doubt that.
There would have been a lot more revolutions happening. But more importantly, have people actually followed their book, which is level 2, after the reading? The world actually would have been a more peaceful, beautiful, happy.
That reminds me of one incident in the US. Do we have time for this?
Yes, we have. I think we have time for this. Carry on, tell me.
Okay, there was a legislator or something in the US. He was arguing for the engraving of the Ten Commandments in the courts.
Alright.
So one interviewer asked him, Do you know those Ten Commandments? And he could not answer. So why is he even arguing for the engraving of the Ten Commandments that he doesn't know what the hell they are? Why is that?
Who asked him? Who asked him?
That was Colbert. What Colbert? What's his name? Stephen Colbert?
Yeah, yes. Colbert Report.
Yes, that's it. He asked him. He couldn't answer. And I was like, wow, that's such a right question. That sums it up. You see the powerfulness of that question?
See, so do you realize that we all have access to knowledge and information, and we all have access to some part of the truth, and we all have access to books, and in one of those books, I feel, is the truth. And if it does not lie in those books, I'm not going to ask you to still follow with those books. I'm going to ask you to go, and I'll bid you farewell on your journey to the search for this truth that you're looking for. But in order to do that, you need to start your search. Seek for it.
The truth will come to you.
The truth won't come to you.
It will
seek come. And ye shall find.
It's within your mind already.
Where is it?
You just have to gain access to that part of your mind.
What do you mean the truth is within you?
It has the understanding that you need.
The mind has the understanding you need, yes. And the truth, but the truth is still not with you, man. Do you have the truth
in
you?
It is within yourself. You just have to unlock that.
How do you unlock that?
I don't know. If I knew it, I'll do it. But I just know that it's within us, within each of us.
I said you can unlock it by asking questions. The right questions, not to people. Stop asking questions to people, man.
I'm asking your opinions. I'm not trying to get truthfulness from out of you.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you can always ask people questions.
Yes.
But in order to find the absolute
obviously,
truth.
Obviously, this is not part of my search for truth, but I'm asking you questions. I'm asking you questions to know what you think and what's in your mind.
I know.
Because this is Amir and his antics.
Amir and his antics on 88.1 FM CKLN. This is Amir Trambu with
DJ RK.
RK, and we are talking about what
Oh, man.
Tell me.
That's it for us today.
That's it for us
today? That's all we got today.
That's all we got?
Yes.
Well, we have some time left for Armored Antics. Tell us, what is up for the next week now?
Next week, we're going to get into more entertaining, not so serious as today, but it'll be more like playing with the words.
And playing more with words. Why would anyone want to listen to a show where they're playing with words?
Not more of us arguing about certain philosophical questions.
All right, and?
And will some questions that are not relevant to our lives, but definitely entertaining to hear. Such as, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
We'll question that.
Come on.
Next week.
That's so cliched. Let's get beyond the cliche.
That's just an example.
Okay, dear listener, we're going to tell you right now what you'll be listening in on our next show. What's on our next show now? We're not going to discuss the weather, obviously.
We won't.
And you're listening to us from our studios here in Toronto, Ontario. This is 88.1 FM, CKLN, and we need to ask you what you think should be on our show next week.
What do you think you should be on the show? Tell me what you think.
Okay, dear listener, if you have an idea of what you want to hear on our show here on Armor and
Antics, why don't we ask the listeners to come up with a philosophical or entertaining question, and we'll debate on that. We'll pick side. No matter what we believe in, we'll just argue for the sake of arguing for it. Okay?
Okay, dear listener, yeah, if you're listening to us, all you have to do is email us any idea or a statement, and Ryan will be for it, and Amr Trumbu will be against it. And we will debate.
And we will assume alter egos, and we won't be our persons, okay?
Yeah, we won't be our persons.
For example, Amir can be the biggest atheist out there, but don't assume that as his personality. That's just for the sake of argument.
Yeah, for the sake of argument, I can be the biggest atheist, but we'll do it for the sake of argument.
And for your entertainment.
And for you, dear listener, because you have been an amazing listener. We want to thank you for listening to our show. Thank you for tuning in to Amr and His Antics. If you want to send in your statement for argument for next show and the ones that follow, please send in at our CKLN email address, which is atrumbu@ckln.fm. And let me spell it out for you. That's atrambu@ckln.fm. Let me repeat it once again. It's A for Apple, T for Tango, R for Romeo, A for Apple, M for Mango, B for
Bus,
B for Bus, U for Unicorn, at the rate of CKLN.FM. atrumbu@ckln.fm. And you know we are serious about your statement. So in the subject line, just write down Armor and His Antics, or for debate or for argument's sake, and we will surely put it. So Armor and His Antics will have a for argument's sake section next week.
Just for fun. Just for your
entertainment. For argument's sake. For your fun. And Amr and DJ RK will be here. DJ RK, will you be here again on the next show? You've been a wonderful listener, and a lot of our listeners have loved it. Just yesterday, a friend of mine told me this DJ RK does great work, and you guys have had a great first show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for your feedback.
You may want to thank my friends and your friends who've been listening to our show, and all the dear listeners of CKLN. Right now, in a few minutes, we'll start Moving in the Right Direction by David James. David James, you can take it from here. But DJ RK, any last words?
I bid you farewell for today, but expect to see you again. In fact, looking forward to see you again.
Seeing me?
You and all the listeners.
Oh, you want to see the listeners?
Yes, I'm seeing you all in my mind.
Great. Dear listeners, wherever you are, listening to the radio, sitting in the car, driving down on the highway, in your homes,
I'm just imagining
sleeping
that.
Away.
That's how I see them.
Opening your eyes and ready to shut this station off and switch to another one. We're going to tell you that we are so grateful that you've been listening, and we hope you've enjoyed our soundtrack. Our background soundtrack was by Linkin Park, and it was called The Faint. What's it titled?
Faint.
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 And this was the instrumental version. Thank you, Linkin Park. Thank you for the music, and thank you for all the people out there who are making great music, great work, and putting the effort to make some useful, make time useful for themselves and helping create some great useful work for us and for other guys. Thank you, DJ RK, for being on the show. You have had
a busy schedule
this week.
Yes, certainly.
And all the best for your coming university time. May God bless you if you believe
in
God.
You too, sir.
You believe in God?
You too, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DJ RK. Take care of yourself and God bless you.
God bless.
And should we say goodbye?
Goodbye for now.
If you have epilepsy, like me, you've heard it all before. The hurtful comments, crazy misconceptions, and weird ideas that many people have about our disorder. Today, you have a chance to change that.
Join the Epilepsy Youth Challenge and be heard. Call 1-866-EPILEPSY or visit seizures.ca to find out how you can help make others finally understand. Choose to be heard.
It will make a huge difference for all of us.